Any longer. If you would, give a big warm Harvest Fellowship welcome to Pastor Mike Dyer. Amen. All the way from Amarillo, Texas this morning.
All right. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everybody. Greetings from Amarillo. We say Amarillo, y'all might say Amarillo. Doesn't matter. It's good to see y'all. It's been a while since I've been here. I was telling somebody earlier, I don't know if it was last year or year before. And I'm kind of like Dusty on that. That doesn't make any difference either, does it? I used to say I'll talk fast and y'all listen fast and we'll get out of here quick. But I can't talk fast anymore. So I'll talk slow and y'all listen fast and we'll still get out of here quick. All right. They asked me to come up and pray with them on the worship team a minute ago. And I made it as far as the steps. Man, it's a long ways up there. So they let me stand on the floor. So I noticed, brother, you got shoes on with no laces. You know, I used to tie my shoes. And when I get down there to tie my shoes, I'd look around and see if there's anything else to do while I was down there. So I'm like you now. I've gone to shoes that I don't have to tie. All right. Blessings to you this morning. I want to talk to you out of the book of Esther this morning. I want to tell you the story of Esther. And it's a very interesting story. But there's a particular message in that book that we really want to get a hold of today. But how many of you know we're living in, I mean, it goes without saying, we're living in chaotic times. A lot of turmoil, a lot of desperation. And I don't know, I don't see much a solution in the near future other than God's on the throne and prayer changes things. But desperate times call for desperate measures. And I just want you to go away from here today knowing that God has a plan for your life, has a purpose for your life, and you're in the time, you're in the moment that you're in because it's God's plan. And sometimes we say, well, why? Why me? Why now? Why here? But as the scripture says, his ways are past finding out. And so we just trust. We trust and obey. There's no other way. Trust and obey. But we all have a purpose. And it's given to us by God. And we all have a destiny. And whether we realize it or not, we're on a journey. We're on a pathway to our destiny. And when we talk about destiny, I just want you to know, because we're living in the times that we live, I think it's time for people in places of authority to call out the destiny of the sons and the daughters of God. See, we just walk through life, just float through life, breathing air, waiting for the end. You say, well, is it the end of the world? Is it the end times? Is Jesus coming? Yeah, all of that. But I don't know when. You don't know when. Nobody knows when. Experts say they do, but I don't think they know. I remember 1975. I was talking to one of my friends. There was some chaos in Israel, and I said, I don't think we can make it another 5 years. Well, that was 42 years ago. If we'd have made it 5 years, 47 years ago when I said that. And we're still here. So it's at the end of the world, I don't know, but I think I could probably sit on my back porch and see it, but we're not there yet. And until we get there, we have a destiny. We have a purpose. And you're going to see with Esther, she was in a moment. I think God prepared her all of her life for one moment, one moment. And it changed the course of history. And I'll show you how and why here in just a minute. But sometimes, well, let me say this first. You know, the Bible says that life is like a vapor. We're here today, gone tomorrow. And so we're not here very long. As a matter of fact, this whole age in which we live hasn't been here very long. Won't be here very long. In the perspective of God's eternity, we're just here in this time space for a short while. And why? What's the purpose? What's God up to? Well, you see, there was a creation, and then there was a corruption of the creation. And ever since that corruption in the Garden of Eden, God's been about redemption. He's redeeming what he created. And so we're on that pathway. We're on that journey. We're in the midst of what God's doing in the earth. And so what's your niche? What's your purpose? We don't think about it sometimes, do we? We think, well, today's another day. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go to work, or when we used to go to work, or I'm going to go to school, or I'm going to do this or that, and just like I did yesterday. But you never know when God's going to call on you to do something that nobody else, that he didn't intend for anybody else to do. He wanted you to do it. And I'm going to talk to you in a minute about detours in life. How many of you in road construction, you hate those detours? But what I've noticed, especially going through a town and they detour, you know, over to this street and you have to go this way. Well, I didn't know that was there. I've never seen that before. Even living in Amarillo, I was driving down the street the other day and I thought, I didn't know that was here. So sometimes we just have to look for the opportunities in the detours of life. And we wonder, you know, we wonder, have I fulfilled my purpose? Have I made a difference? Has my life made a difference? And at 70 years old, I'm thinking about that a lot. Have I made a difference? And I look back over my life, I didn't make much of a difference. But then I think, wait a minute, got 3 kids, 12 grandkids. And they're all growing up, and some of them are grown, 2 in the military, 2, 3 in college. And even just in that, just sowing into the kids and the grandkids, you make a difference. You make a difference in your circle of influence. And you all have a circle of influence. I don't care who you are, where you are, where you've been, what you've done, you have a circle of influence. There are people that you've affected with your life. So that brings me to the subject today. And I call it Esther's moment. And she was many years in preparation. And this is a story about a young girl that God uses in a critical situation to really save a nation, to save a people. And God gives us insight in this book on his purposeful plan for our lives. Now, when you read the book of Esther, and it's quite interesting, but not one time does it mention God, doesn't use the name God, not one time does it mention worship, not one time does it mention prayer. You say, well, how did that book get in the canon of Scripture? Well, the the Jewish people love this book, and for good reason, because it tells the story of their salvation. You see, ever since the corruption of the creation and God's calling of a people, separating out a people to unto himself, somebody's been trying to annihilate them. Whether it was this situation, and even more in recent history, it was the Holocaust. The whole purpose was to annihilate the Jewish people. And even today, there's a country over there that in just the last 2 months has developed nuclear weapon capable of striking Israel, with their purpose and goal is to annihilate the Jewish people. I mean, they've said it. You've heard it on national news. They've said it. Well, they now have the capability to do that. So somebody's always been trying to annihilate this people. And this was one of those situations. So let me tell you the story. Esther was living in Persia, and that's modern-day Iran. And as a matter of fact, her tomb is in Iran today, along with Mordecai. Mordecai was her cousin. He raised Esther. Esther's parents died at an early age as a result of what? I don't know. But Mordecai took her under his wing and raised her and brought her up in the culture and the heritage, the Jewish heritage. And this was the time frame, when the children of Israel were in captivity. Now, you've heard the term through the years, the children of Israel were carried away into Babylon, into captivity. And that kind of come in stages, all the way from the 700s B.C. to the last, I think, was 530-something B.C. And you say, why is that relevant? It's not. How does that help me with my purpose? It doesn't. But just to set the stage, they were living in captivity, but they'd been there quite a while. You know, how long does it take for a people to adapt to even a negative situation? Doesn't take very long, does it? We saw in the last year or two, what did they call it? The new normal. I hated that term. I just wanted the old normal. But it doesn't take very long for a people to adapt to a situation. So by the time of Esther, they'd been there several years, decades. And so they were integrated throughout society of the Persian Empire, and living under the rule of the king of Persia. But here was a situation where the king of Persia got upset with his queen, Vashti, and so he kicked her out and denounced her as queen. And he sent out word to all the provinces, send me a bunch of young, beautiful women for my harem. Well, Esther was one of those young ladies, and Mordecai brought her to the court of the king, and she went through all the process that they had to go through in order to be prepared for the king. And as it turns out, of all of the women throughout the whole empire, Persian Empire, he liked her best. And whether it was her beauty or whatever, I personally think she was drop-dead gorgeous, had beautiful olive skin, infatuating personality. He was infatuated with Esther, and so he made her queen. But he didn't know she was a Jew. Mordecai didn't tell him that. Mordecai was an advisor. But she became queen of the Persian Empire. Ain't that something? But just like with any story, there's a scoundrel in the story, and his name was Haman. Y'all have heard about Haman. So he was an advisor to the king, and so he come to the king one day, and as it really infuriated Haman that Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him. Mordecai was a Jew. Haman was this Persian, and he thought all the Jews ought to bow down before him and the king. Does that sound familiar? Same thing with Daniel. Several decades before. Same thing with the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So here they are again. Same kind of situation. And because he wouldn't bow down, Haman was mad, so he goes to the king and he says in Esther chapter 3, verse 8, let me read that out of this version. There's a certain people, this is NIV, which means nearly inspired version. No, I'm just kidding. There's a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom whose customs are different from those of all other people, and who do not obey the king's laws. And it's not in the king's best interest to tolerate these people. It's not in your best interest, King Ahasuerus, to let these people remain. So the king gave Haman authority to handle the fate of the Jewish people. He was going to annihilate them. And in return from the king's edict, Haman basically put in process a government-issued order of genocide. Sound familiar? Yeah. So what could the queen do? She would be killed. All of her family, all of her people would be killed. But of all the Jews scattered throughout all the provinces of the Persian Empire, Esther was the only one that had access to the king. Do you see how God's hands on this one young lady, preparing her for one moment in time to save a nation? So Mordecai had a talk with Esther, his cousin, his younger cousin. He raised her. And he said, you've got to get to the king. She said, he hadn't called me in for a month. He said, well, you've got to go. You've got to talk to him or we're going to be exterminated. And so she did something not unique, because in their situation, they never lost their culture, their heritage, their identity as the people of God. So what did she do? Now, it doesn't use the term pray, doesn't use the term God, but it says she called for a fast, a three-day fast, to get direction, to get wisdom. And so eventually, she was able to go into the king. She put on her best robes, dolled herself up, and she went into the king. Now, this was at great risk. You just didn't go in when you wanted to. He had to call you in. But she took the risk. She stood up in her courage, took the risk, and went into the king, and she told him about Haman's plot against her people. And as a result, the king reversed the order. The Jews were saved, and Haman was disgraced and hanged on the same gallows that he'd prepared for Mordecai. And Esther received Haman's estate. So this dramatic unfolding of events shows us how you can live your whole life for one moment in time. And that one divine assignment to fulfill God's purpose, and in effect fulfill your purpose. What did he raise Esther up to be? Did he raise her up to be beautiful? Did he raise her up to be queen? No, he used all of that and raised her up to be the savior of the nation. Good story? Yeah. So, very quickly, I'm going to share with you six lessons. And I say quickly, I'll run through them quick, I promise. Now, I've got a story or two that may take a while, but lesson number one, God has a plan for your life. Anybody disagree with that? Sometimes you say, catch yourself thinking and saying, well, ain't much a plan for my life. Oh, but it is. Whether big, whether small, it's still a plan. It's still God's plan. And you have a purpose. You have a mission. And Mordecai nailed it when he said in Esther 4:14, he said to Esther, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to the royal palace for such a time as this. Now, depending on which perspective you have, which interpretation you have, which version of the Bible you're reading, the NIV and in this New American Standard, it says, who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this? In other words, you've attained royal position, the position of queen, for such a time as this. Now, all these years, now King James Version says you've been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. And I thought, well, that's God's kingdom. He brought her to the king, raised her up in the kingdom of God for such a time as this. But could it be that he raised her up and put her in this royal position for such a time as this? I think yes. But I also think, is it either or is it both and? I think it's both and. He brought her to a royal position in the kingdom of God, royal position in the Persian Empire and the kingdom of God for such a time as this. And now, so I want to tell you, at some point, and there may be many times in your life where he's put you in a situation, or you've come to a situation, a circumstance, an interruption in your life. And if you're willing, if you're ready, he's put you there for such a time that you could make a difference, whether it be one person's life, 10 people's lives, a congregation, a community, a city, a state, whatever. Doesn't matter your level of authority. What matters is you embrace the fact that he's raised you up for such a time as this. Back to the desperate times in which we live, folks, I'm telling you, there's going to be multitudes of people We think we see hurt and pain and despair and hopelessness now. I don't think we've seen anything yet. But you have the answer. You can make a difference in their life. You agree? You can. Number two, God gives us divine moments to alter circumstances. As believers, we experience divine arrangements, divine appointments, divine connections, all in the timing of God. Esther's divine moment came by accepting her responsibility to go talk to the king. So in your life, whether you realize it or not, and most of the time we don't realize it, unless we just step back, look at the situation. So why did this happen that made me go here when I usually go here? And we're all going from point A to point B, right? Every day of our life, we're going from one place to another. And as we go from point A to point B, we might have to take a detour for whatever reason. Now, I'm talking figuratively now. I'm not talking road construction, however that might apply. But figuratively speaking, we might have to take a detour. Well, if you will look while you're in that detour, in that interruption, there's an opportunity to bless somebody. There's an opportunity to make a difference. Let me give you, a story. 20 years ago, in my life, I was in a major detour that caused me to say, why? Now, God, I know I messed up, but is it going to be like this forever? Am I stuck out here in the wilderness? Am I on the shelf for the rest of my life? And I had about, 20 to 25 people working for me. And I'll just give you two examples. Well, maybe three. This one young man, he became one of my supervisors. He was searching for significance, and we all are, but he was really searching. He was 20-something years old, searching for significance, searching for direction. What am I going to do with my life today? And I had several talks with him and pointed him in a direction, and not realizing really what I was doing at the time. I was just talking to a young man. Today, he's leading worship and preaching. He's not the pastor, but he's part of the preaching team in a church there in Amarillo. So, did I make a difference in his life? He would say yes. Was another young lady. And when I met her, the HR guy brought her to me and said, we need you to put her to work. She just got out of jail. And she was still on, what do you call it? Probation. And this young lady, you talk about a hard life. She watched her mama get stabbed to death out on the sidewalk in a drug deal gone bad. And she just spiraled down from there. But she needed a hand up. And terrible disposition and attitude and no people skills at all. But she was a good worker. But she worked for me for several years and went and moved on to something else. But one day in church, she tapped me on the shoulder. This was a year or so after she quit. And she said, I just want you to know how much you helped me and the difference you made in my life. Okay. Now see, I'm still questioning God. Is this all there is? Am I on the shelf from now on? Well, there was a third young lady, and same thing. She was a single mom going to school, working two jobs. And I said, what are you studying to be in college? And she said, well, my major is psychology. And I said, so what's your end game? What do you want to be when you grow up? She's 20-something years old. And she said, well, I don't know. I guess a psychologist or psychiatrist or whatever. I don't know. I said, okay. So we had several talks about purpose and significance and direction and what are you going to do with your life? And so she came to me one day and she said, I'm going to go on a mission trip. Will I have a job when I get back? And I said, yeah, you sure will. And she said, it's a 10-day trip. I said, okay, what are you going to do with your daughter? Her daughter was 9 years old. She said, I'm going to take her with her. They've got living quarters, et cetera, and so on, so she'll go with me. And I said, okay, great. Call me when you get back. She, on day nine, she calls and said, I think I'm going to stay a while. I said, all right. When you get ready to come back, you got a job. She didn't come back. A couple months later, I get this email from her, and it wasn't her last name. Instead of Teresa Keener, it was Teresa Smith or whatever. She'd married the director of missions at Way of the Cross in Harlingen, Texas. And she said, I found my purpose. I don't see myself doing anything else for the rest of my life. I said, okay, great. Wonderful. God bless you. Have a happy life. Didn't hear from her. A year later, I got another email. And this is all it said. 10,000 souls come to Jesus through this ministry. Because they'd go down to Mexico and go to Africa and various places. And the Lord said, there's your purpose. There's your reward. In a detour, in an interruption, the opportunities to speak into young people's lives, and the Lord said, there's your reward. I said, okay, I'm content. And a year later, he got me back on track. So see, you never know. You never know. Lesson number three, we stand in courage. Obviously, Esther had courage because, as I said, you just didn't go into the king if he didn't call you. He could have had her killed in an instant, but he didn't. She took a risk. She risked it all. Sometimes we just have to stand in courage and risk it all. There's people doing that right now. They're risking everything they've got because they're standing on principle. They're standing in faith. Lesson number four, fasting and prayer brings clarity and hope for deliverance. Like I said, God's not mentioned in the book. Worship's not mentioned. Prayer's not mentioned. But she called for a 3-day fast. And obviously, they maintained their identity and their heritage because Mordecai wouldn't bow down to Baal, to paganism. He wouldn't bow. Lesson number five is obedience. We don't get a pass on this one. You either obey or you don't. And if you feel stuck, if you're in a spiritual muddle, How many of you have ever been there? Just been in a spiritual muddle. You know, the heavens are like brass. You don't feel like your prayers are getting out. What's God saying? I don't know. I'm not hearing him say anything. What do you do? I'm going to tell you, you can't pray your way out of a spiritual muddle. You obey your way out. So think back to the last time you did hear God. He did tell you to do something, small or great, doesn't matter. If you didn't do it, that may be the reason you're stuck. How do you fix it? You go back and obey. She obeyed. The Lord raised her up for this moment, and she obeyed. Number six, God uses everything and everybody for his divine purpose. No part of our lives is untouched. God is in control of everything, every aspect, whether we want him to be or not. So what should we say then? What should we do? I'm going to give you three or four things here. Here's what you do. Be aware of what God is doing, what circumstance you find yourself in. Are you in a detour? Are you in an interruption of your everyday life? So exhortation number one is just be aware. Take a step back, survey the situation. Why am I here? Why am I in this predicament? Why did God bring this person across my path today? Well, maybe he wanted you to be their miracle. See, your detour is somebody else's blessing. Your detour can be somebody else's miracle. You might have the supply. Whether it's a kind word, a $20 bill, a meal. How about this one? Case of baby formula. You never know who God is going to bring across your path. But it might take a detour for him to work through you to bless somebody or to bless a group. See, I guess you keep hearing me say this. It doesn't matter whether it's a small thing or a large thing. What matters is you hear God and obey. And that's number two. You listen to the Holy Spirit to discover God's plan, to discover his purpose, to discover his direction for you. Be sensitive to who he puts in your path. Now, I was thinking about this coming down. You listen to the Holy Spirit, but do you hear? And I think that's number three. Hear and obey. Hear God and obey. See, it's one thing to listen. Well, I'm listening. God just ain't talking. Yeah, he's talking, and we're listening, but are you hearing him? You're listening, but are you hearing him? See, there's a difference. So hear and obey and be courageous and willing to take the risk. So how do you do this? How do you hear what the Spirit is saying? How do you have the courage to obey? And I'm going to close with this verse. It's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. I'm going to read a couple of verses before. Paul says to the Colossians, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. How many of you know Paul was always in a detour? Whether by his own choosing or whether it was forced, whether he was being persecuted or whether he was just traveling from church to church, he was always, so to speak, in a detour for the sake of the body of Christ, to preach the gospel. And he risked it all. He risked everything. Reputation, everything he had. He said, I count it all as junk for the sake of Christ. So that this is the mystery. This is verse 26, which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints. Now listen. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And here it is. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. How do you do it? How do you listen? How do you hear? How do you obey? How do you have the courage to take the risk, to stand up, to stand in faith, to speak boldly? How do you do it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You can't do it in your own strength. Esther couldn't do it in her own strength. How did she do it? For lack of better terminology, she gathered herself up, pulled herself up, stood in courage, went into the king, knowing that she might be killed. How do you take a stand today? In courage and faith. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You can't do it in your own strength. Has to be him in us. So what would have happened? What would have happened? 400 plus years from Esther, there was another little Jewish girl born. And at 14, 15, 16 years old, the angel of the Lord appeared to her. He said, this is what's going to happen to you. And she said, how can that be? The Spirit of the Lord is going to come over you. And she said, you remember her response? It was similar to Esther's. Be it unto me as you have said. And she took the risk. She said, yes, Lord. And what happened? She gave birth to the Savior of the world. Esther, in her moment, was obedient to the Lord and saved the nation, saved the ancestry so that this other little girl could be born and give birth to the Savior of the world. Ain't that neat how God works? You never know what kind of difference you're going to make in somebody's life. You never know. Just listen, hear, and obey. Thank you. God bless you.
Amen. Give Pastor Mike another great hand clap. Who heard something today? I did. Enough that I can't be quiet. Did you hear enough that you want to do something today? Who heard something that they need to do today? And so I'm just going to take a minute, Pastor Mike, off of that, because what I love is the word. Did you hear the word speak today? The word spoke today. And I didn't plan this in closing, but there's something that really spoke to me. There's a lot of Esthers in here. Woo. Amen, Pastor. And some of the Esthers, the young ladies in here, and I can go around and I can call them all out. Woo. Yes, sir.
Mordecai. If you read the last chapter of Esther, he was promoted, elevated, whatever you want to call it, to second in command of the Persian Empire. Sound familiar? Daniel before him, second in command. Joseph before him, second in command. Did they go through some stuff? Yep. But they were promoted to the second in all of the empire.
Amen. That's good. The Esther's in here, and if you don't think that this word's going to speak to you, I'm going to tell you that God's got, I believe there's a word there, Mike, that God gave me today in listening to that, and I'm going to have the courage to speak it, sir. And I could call out all the young ladies in here and even the young men, but even the older ladies that have been believing for those things, when we focus on somebody else and we trust God, you know, and we want to trust God. And I believe there's a lot of young ladies in here that don't believe, and they don't believe God has a destiny for them. And I'm going to cancel that over you right now, because some of you are thinking that God doesn't see me or that no one sees me. And I'm going to cancel that assignment right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Because he sees you and you all have a plan. He sees you. Amen. You're on my heart today. Ladies back here, he sees you. And he's calling forth that destiny in your life. And he's already doing it. It's a big deal. One quick testimony. Can I testify? I'm standing up here a long time ago, and I want to go down this route just right quick. And Bobby Richardson's here playing worship. Anybody remember Bobby? So I'm going to tell you something that really spoke to me today, because Bobby had leaned back to me one day, and he'd said, Mark, you need to pick up rhythm guitar, and you need to play. And I'm like, I can't play guitar, Bobby. So, I mean, I'm just going to tell you, but I felt a moment in my life, and I can see it as clear as I was today, that I started playing the guitar today, and my son's 11, and we turned him loose and trusted that God's big enough to take an 11-year-old, and I don't have to get in his way. Amen? And so I watched Bobby having a destiny through me that went to Luke, to today, and we trusted God with that. We need to trust that God can take our children. If they're seeking God, we need to let them and not get in their way. Amen. And then you watch that destiny unfold, which I believe is coming another generation, Mike. And the credit of that is all in God when we trust the Lord. Amen. That's what I heard today for myself. And I just see that unfold down to Grace and then to Parker. And it's just going to go on to generation to generation. I'm believing in the next one, even more blessing that God's going to outpour in that. So the detour of your life as parents is to continue to do what we just heard today, but also trust God. When I didn't think that Luke could set up for 11 and do that, he could. Amen. Trust your children if they're seeking the Lord. And someone needs to hear that today. I truly believe that. If they're seeking God, guide them and direct them, but also don't hold them back. The Holy Spirit, we serve a big God. And we saw what happened there through your story today, Mike. That's awesome. We serve a great big God. So I went down that rabbit trail just right quick because I thought it was great. And God's speaking to you today. And I have to say this again. If you think he's not, he is, Mallory. I'm going to call you out because I believe God's got that for you, okay? I know he does. He's got it for us all. And I think sometimes we just have to be bold enough just to call it out and say, bring that out. Let's go. And speak that over our children, over ourselves, over anybody around us. And if we can replace our selfishness, whew, I feel selfish today because I'm not enough trying to pull that out and using the gift that God gave me to help more people pull that out, because it's way more important than the other things I do that don't have to do with God. Anybody hear that? Amen. So that, hope that detour spoke to somebody. I could just keep going. We just started right here. Just keep going. But, wow, Pastor Mike, that's God showed up today for me. I know that. And I believe he did for everybody here. So we're gonna bind and seal that. If you would stand up with me, we're going to pray a blessing over you. I'm going to pray. Next week, Pastor Ty Barker's going to be here. He's going to follow up. We're believing that he's going to have a great word. And it's going to be blessed, just like today was. And we're just going to bind and seal what we've heard today. In Jesus' name. Father God, we come to you, God. What a great word today, Lord. And God, it's challenging all of us to recognize your plan and the plans of the people you've put in our lives and to continue to seek you in it, God. And it spoke to me. And God, I want to be that and be more and do more. And also, but it comes from trusting you, God. We heard that today in Jesus' name and believing in your plan. And so, Father, we seek you more. I speak the blessing over your people today that's found in Numbers. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Father, we thank you for the word. It goes forward, God, and it cannot come back void. And we thank you for Pastor Mike. God bless him. And God, it's a great testimony we heard from him today, and it spoke to us all. So, Father, until next time, God, we just believe that it's going to be great days ahead of us, God, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Give somebody a high five. It's a great day.